think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The only war that we should be fighting is the war along our southern border. That is the war that matters to Americans. That is the border that matters to Americans. And our United States border is the only border that should matter to Washington, D.C. And the fact that it doesn't is clear proof to America that Washington, D.C. does not serve the American people. Washington, D.C. serves the interests of the globalist elites on the backs of the American taxpayer who is going broke, absolutely going broke under this crippling inflation and under what they're doing to our country.
That is, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And whether or not you like her statements, you have to accept, and you might be among those that are going broke or suffering more and more because of the cost of inflation and everything else. Now, they're telling you things are better. They're okay. They're going to get better, better. But the job numbers report, I told you the other day when they first came out, they looked really big. They trumpeted them from the top of the White House. Look how great they are. And then when you break it down, out of that 330,000 new jobs, 70,000 plus were in the federal government, which I questioned then. I didn't have details. 70,000 inside federal government, which means taking your federal tax dollars, creating jobs, hiring people, making it look like everything's moving forward. And I also pointed out, it's not clear how many of those might actually be part-time jobs. Folks already had a part-time job or a full-time job, but they needed more money, so they got another part-time job that lists them in a second place as having a job, but the number is not reported as one. It's doubled. Instead of one job, they got two jobs, so it looks like two were hired. No, only one was hired. They continue to play this game, and you can continue to accept the fact that's in front of you, what you're paying. I told you, I think, the other day that compared to 2019, if I recall the date correctly, if you went out to buy groceries and whatever you bought at $100, which you paid $100 for, nowadays you're going to have to pay $140 for the same amount. And they want to tell you things are better. Hey, if you want to buy and eat that lie, then go right ahead and tell it to your kids when you can't take them anywhere because we don't have the money. We were in the exact same situation after we came out of 2008. You remember that debacle? Too big to fail. Everybody got paid, and banks and loan companies, except the American people. And homes were upside down. But it's too big for everything to fail. And that is when I did that Obama interview, which brought a lot of hot water on me, and that's fine, pointing out that the American people are suffering. They see you and the first family flying around the world under color of state business as if you don't have anything in common with them anymore. You're not in touch. Good question. Not liked. Larry, we're done. Pretty much that. Thanks again for joining us for Larry Connors USA. This is the second of 2 hours back-to-back. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we're streaming video for you. You can watch the program. I encourage you to do so, either now or later. News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. If you miss any, at any part, or you simply want to replay, rewatch, share with others, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Everything will be there for you. So the remarks of Marjorie Taylor Greene making that the American people are suffering on the backs of the elite reminds me decades ago, my dad worked for an oil field company. And he got really ticked off because all this focus on oil field businesses and companies making a lot of money, which they were. And one of the networks decided to go to one of the major oil companies' shareholders meeting, and they showed the executives arriving in a big limo, as if, see how they arrive? How did you get here? Scooter. And Dad was upset. He said, well, why don't they look at the other corporation like that? They are, all their CEOs drive around in something like that. But Dad at the time considered that he was not rich. And then as the time went on, he was told, yeah, you are rich. You're among the highest rich people in the nation. He thought, no way we're rich. We're getting by. We got a nice home, and I'm taking care of my family, but we're not rich. No, no, you are considered rich, and we're going to tax you more. It's all perspective, isn't it? And, of course, the issue, as Marjorie Taylor Greene was pointing out, our border is part of the issue as well. I want to go back to a time when Senator Josh Hawley was questioning Alejandro Mayorkas as to, what the hell are you people doing down there with your Border Patrol agents?
Are there HSI special agents who are currently at the border, having been pulled away from other cases?
Combating, yes, combating the fight against fentanyl, yes.
How many agents are currently at the border having been pulled off of their other cases?
To fight the scourge of fentanyl, I'd be very pleased to provide you with that data.
That's not what the special agent is alleging. That's not what she said. She said that they're being taken off of fentanyl interdiction, off of child exploitation cases, off of their other investigations into criminals to make sandwiches. That's her quote. You're saying that this is a lie, that she's wrong?
Senator, we have a number of law enforcement priorities with the resources.
Is making sandwiches one of them?
We have, of course not, Senator. We accomplish a tremendous amount.
Is she wrong?
Because of the tremendous talent and dedication of our personnel, including Homeland Security investigation.
Making sandwiches for illegal immigrants. Is she wrong? This is one of your agents. Is she wrong? She says that there are 600 at least special agents pulled off of other cases sent down to the border to babysit illegal immigrants. Is she wrong?
Senator, our personnel, we use our personnel to achieve the maximum law enforcement objective possible. That is what we do.
So you're not going to deny it.
And I'm incredibly proud of what our people do single day.
This is news.
Is she wrong? Yes, no. That is a blinker light question. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. And of course, when he said, I don't have the numbers, I'll get the number. I get PO'd every time one of these White House Biden administration officials show up for a congressional hearing. They don't have any notes. They don't have any knowledge. They're just going to speak off the cuff. Oh, well, I'll get back to you and get you that number. And then, of course, in addition to dealing with the border, the open border, and dealing with how we are or not making sandwiches, which I think we probably are, peanut butter jelly, maybe bologna, I don't know. You got the issue, well, what else can Joe Biden do to turn the public trust back to him? Because Nancy Pelosi, I'm looking at a quote from Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden has a beautiful vision for America. Really? Well, he does have a vision to try to get more votes, and that is the best way he knows is hand out money.
Early in my term, I announced a major plan to provide more than 40 million working and middle-class Americans student debt relief. Tens of millions. Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. Today, I'm proud to announce five major actions to continue to relieve student debt for more than 30 million Americans.
30 million Americans. And he's blaming the Republicans for blocking. He said they complained about it, and the court blocked you, not the Republicans. I want you to hear how it's posed by NBC as to how Biden is suffering when it comes to younger voters.
In the 2020 NBC News exit poll, candidate Biden led former President Trump by 24 percentage points among voters under 30. But an NBC survey in January had President Biden up by just 8 percentage points among that group. Another poll last month showed Mr. Trump ahead by 18 points among voters under 30.
Now that's NBC. I want you to listen to former Florida GOP Congressman David Jolly, who thinks, yeah, this student loan forgiveness thing, this is probably a good idea.
I certainly think it could move the needle, and it needs to. I mean, Joe Biden and several traditionally Democratic performing groups, his numbers seem to be soft right now. I'm not sure, though, that it moves the needle simply because it is a subsidy or forgiveness or a direct benefit, as much as it makes the president relatable to young people's concerns, right? Young people are looking at Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and they see two people that perhaps they think just simply don't understand their current challenges. This directly impacts them and says, on behalf of the president, yes, I do understand your challenges. But I think where the other places it really helps, though, Yasmin, is a lot of these people who would be eligible for this forgiveness are now adults with kids in college, and they are still paying their college loans. I mean, think about that, a 20 to 25-year burden, a 30-year burden for a 45-year-old person who's still working to pay off their college debt while they now have kids entering college taking on their own debt. This says for Joe Biden, listen, I feel your pain. I know how badly this has burdened you, and I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, like Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. Maybe these parents need to recalculate if they see they're saddled with such student debt this deep into their lives, they keep their kids on a better path, maybe. But, of course, you're always going to get leftists to come forward and praise buying votes. Rachel Madcal.
The substance of this is straightforward, right? Help people who are drowning under big student loan payments. Our country wants people to go to college, so our country should reduce the disincentive to go to college by making it less economically disastrous to do so. People who are having trouble with their student loans, relieve that economic pain. Make it easier on them. The substance of it is straightforward. The politics of it is straightforward, too, right? Here's the president going to a critical swing state, unveiling a program that he hopes will be particularly popular with young people. Young people, of course, particularly crucial for his bid for re-election. So the substance is straightforward and important. The politics are straightforward and important for President Biden.
Do you think maybe she was speaking too much? She flat out admitted he's going to buy these young people. Might as well throw in some suckers, the kind you lick, because they're suckers in the midst of the group already. Yeah, he made that announcement in Wisconsin, which he thinks I can pick up more. Now he's got to deal with Michigan and other states. But there's a growing uncommitted movement, as you know, that's caught Biden already. It's cost him 500,000 votes being cast nationally against Biden, and they're recognizing this is now a significant liability. It's won enough votes to secure Democrat National Convention delegates from Minnesota, Hawaii, Michigan, supposedly. But then again, the uncommitted in Michigan, Minnesota are going to be a drag for him. So he hopes to win Michigan. Dearborn, which is heavy Muslim and many PLO Hamas sympathizers, hate America. But Biden is on course to show, I'm concerned how much you hate America and what Israel is doing. Maybe, just maybe, he thinks that'll help him pick up needed votes.
After months of on and off negotiations, the U.S. has reportedly proposed a new ceasefire deal. It would see a six-week halt in the fighting and exchange 40 hostages for 900 Palestinians imprisoned in Israel. Hamas is expected to respond to this latest proposal by Tuesday night. If they agree, the truce could begin as soon as Wednesday. The Biden administration has warned it could change its policy towards Israel if it goes forward with an invasion of Rafah. There are also signs it would like to see Netanyahu replaced as leader. Monday, the U.S. Secretary of State held high-level talks with the leader of Netanyahu's opposition, who might be more pliable to White House demands.
A hostage deal is doable. It is a difficult deal. This is a deal we might not like, but it's doable, and therefore it needs to be made.
So they're going to push the Biden administration, trying to win votes among the jihadist Muslim PLO supporters in Michigan. We're going to force Israel to not go invade in Rafah and go after Hamas if we can talk them into a six-week ceasefire. What do you think would happen in 6 weeks of ceasefire? Do you think Hamas would just sit on its hands and not do anything and just enjoy a little relaxation? They will be ramping up to be even harder to dig out. You want some strong, legitimate reaction, you turn to Israeli citizens.
Instead of telling the international community to place pressure on Hamas to release the hostages, they're placing pressure on Netanyahu and our government. We didn't start the war, they did. Okay? They murdered 1,200 of our people.
The mood in general is a grim determination to win the war.
Military analyst and IDF Reserve Major Elliot Chodov says most Israelis are firmly behind achieving victory over Hamas.
There's a very loud counter movement, and I emphasize loud because the overwhelming majority who are not speaking are the bulk of the population, the reservists and their families.
Chodov says it's important to pray for Israel now.
Pray for Israel's well-being, pray for Israel's safety, and pray for victory, because ultimately that's where the well-being is going to come from.
But this administration says we can tell Israel how best to fight. Right. This commander-in-chief telling Israel how to fight, and also meeting with some of his political opponents, trying to undermine Benjamin Netanyahu during the midst of this fight. Here's a report from CBN.
Israel is ready for an invasion of Rafah despite U.S. opposition to the attack. Yesterday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it will happen. There is a date.
The Biden administration has proposed another ceasefire in exchange for hostages, while Netanyahu continues to insist he won't settle for anything less than total victory. Chris Mitchell reports from Jerusalem.
On Monday, Netanyahu announced Israel is not finished with Hamas in Gaza.
We're working all the time to achieve our goals, primarily the release of our hostages and achieving a complete victory over Hamas. This victory requires entry into Rafah and the elimination of the terrorist battalions there. It will happen. There's a date.
There is a date. Of course, I'm not going to tell you the date, but Israel is going to have to go back into Rafah. Netanyahu said there are at least four battalions of Hamas in there. We will go in and get them out. They don't want to go in and kill innocent civilians. It could all end if Hamas simply gave up all prisoners, came out with their hands and arms up, and simply said, we're done, we're not going to fight anymore, and let all the people go. So what Israel is going to have to try to do is take these civilians that are not part of Hamas, trying to separate them out. It's going to be the first issue. But let's begin with women and children, hopefully, and move them to another part of Gaza, because no other Muslim country wants them. I want you to keep that in mind. When I hear all this cry out for, oh my God, humanity, I don't see any other Muslim country saying we will take them, because they don't want the PLO in their backyard, because that means they might have a mosque, which in turn will make them an object of Israeli attacks. Coming up next, my guest is going to discuss how Biden is trying to walk this line, collecting votes even of those who hate America. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and News Talk STL.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire has been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to introduce you to our guest. She is a contributor to The Federalist, Brianna Lyman. And we were just talking about how Biden is out trying to court the vote of those who hate America, particularly in Dearborn, Michigan area, trying to win that state, and others where there are strongholds of PLO sympathizers, Hamas sympathizers in many cases. Brianna, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm looking at a piece you wrote specifically about how these demonstrations have basically blown up in the face of Biden. And just before you joined us, I was sharing a report showing that 500,000 voting non-committed, uncommitted, because of the way Biden has been handling Israel, that's a factor he's got to, quote, as they like to say on the left, lean into.
Yeah, this is Biden's biggest challenge, I think, and not because he necessarily needs the Arab American vote to win in 2024, but because he thinks he needs the Arab American vote to win. So if you look at, you know, back in 2020, Joe Biden won Michigan by what, 150,000 votes, okay? And if we look at what happened in the primary, I mean, he lost, what, 100,000 in Michigan to uncommitted. And so that is a very small margin. That means that there's 50,000 voters that perhaps are still steadfast with Biden. And then if you take those steadfast voters, it doesn't account for the black voters in Michigan who are dissatisfied with Biden's past 4 years, who might choose, when it comes to November, between Joe Biden, Donald Trump, and the couch, right? We saw that happen to Hillary Clinton in 2016, and I think that Democrats rightfully fear that again. And so he is trying to appease these radical Islamists at the expense of our ally in the Middle East, Jewish Americans,
right. And
honestly, down the line, American service members.
And I see it as selling out America, to be quite honest. If you're willing to go court the vote of somebody who is chanting death to America, much less death to Israel, why do you want to say, I've got this vote?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny. A lot of those on the left, they say, oh, you know, Jews have dual loyalty to America and Israel. Oh, my God, at least they have some loyalty to America. You have these people, like you said, that Biden is courting, who don't even care about America. They want America to be destroyed, right? So it's just interesting, the political play that Biden thinks he's making. And he is willing to essentially slow walk the United States toward a conflict in Gaza, because he's trying to appease these people by saying we're going to build a port to deliver aid, which, by the way, will be stolen by Hamas very likely,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Also saying there's going to be a peacekeeping mission. And it's like, does anyone want to remember 1983, the Barack bombings? Okay, 241 U.S. service members murdered because we were at a peacekeeping mission for Palestinians.
I remember that distinctly. In fact, that was on a, by the time the word got to us, it was Sunday morning, because I know when I got the word before our pastor began a sermon that day, I went up and said, you need to know about this. And just the look of his face, you know, and then he had to deliver the news to the most of the congregation had not heard. No, I distinctly remember that Marine barracks being hit. But I also remember, here's Joe Biden, who is responsible for the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, leaving Americans and those who had helped us in Afghanistan behind, and the weapons and everything else. And he's trying to tell Israel how to fight Hamas?
Yeah, you know, luckily Joe Biden is insulated, as the rest of America is, from having terrorists at our direct borders. Look, I know that terrorists are coming through the southern border, but not in the same capacity that those on the Israeli and Gaza border are experiencing today, right? And so we're fortunate in that capacity, but President Biden doesn't seem to understand that this isn't a war over a territorial dispute. Hamas, their main goal is to murder Jews, okay?
Yes.
It's not about they want their land back. They don't want any Jews anywhere in the world. So the real question is, does Joe Biden seriously think that if there's a ceasefire that this isn't going to happen again? It happened in 2021. There was that 11-day fight because Hamas is the one who always ends the ceasefires.
And all these terrorist groups, they have tentacles, we're convinced, already in our nation. And even if they're not carrying it out, they're influencing others. I've got a story in front of me that in Idaho, an 18-year-old has been arrested. He's, I assume, American. The name is American-sounding. Taken into custody by the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, thank God. The day before, he apparently was going to plan to attack people in church last Sunday. And he was going to do it as an homage, I guess, to ISIS.
You know, you read that story and it's just so jarring. And, you know, thank God the FBI caught that. But I'd also then worry, you know, again, we had people chanting death to America on American streets that are paid for by the American taxpayer. Okay. And the FBI and DOJ is really putting all their efforts into getting grandmas who walked into the Capitol for 10 minutes.
Right.
That's where their efforts are.
Right.
And so it just kind of shows that there is a dual system of justice in this country where there's not enough credence given to real threats to America, right? People who say death to America. And instead, what Democrats have done is they say that Republicans are, you know, the threat to democracy. You know what? First of all, that's completely untrue. Second of all, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And third of all, the biggest threat to our entire country is Biden, as the voters that Biden is trying to appease that want America to die.
Point made directly. And in fact, back to this uncontested voters issue, I'm looking at a piece published in The Nation by John Nichols, and he reports that up to 500,000 primary voters and Democrat primary voters protested Biden with their ballots. So we're not talking about just Michigan. We're also talking other parts of the Rust Belt, and that they're making their voices heard. Those uncommitted votes begin to add up, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, so forth.
Yeah, and you know, I think Biden's calculating this. You know, you hear New Jersey, we know that that's going to go blue for Biden anyway. So he's not necessarily so concerned about voters going uncommitted in those states, but he is concerned about, you know, the blue wall. And that is where he sees a lot of problems. And it's not just Arab American voters who we have to worry about, like I mentioned, it's black voters. You know, in 2016, one of Hillary Clinton's most fatal mistakes was her campaigning in Wisconsin. And particularly, District 15 was 84% black. And it had some of the lowest turnouts in its history because she couldn't get them enthused to come out for her. So Biden's not only facing that same enthusiasm problem with all Americans, but specifically his base with the black Americans, but couple that with these radical Islamists who say, you know, cut off all aid to Israel, condition it on a ceasefire that's never going to work, or we're not voting for you. He's between a rock and a hard place.
Well, they're not only doing that, they're actively talking to Netanyahu's political opponents in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the United States. I mean, we meddle in everyone else's elections and think it's okay. But if you raise those same kind of concerns domestically, you are suddenly on the FBI terror watch list. And Biden trying to undermine our greatest ally and their leadership at a time when it is already being scrutinized by these left-wing advocacy groups, and it's and its adversaries along their borders, there are many adversaries, is wholly irresponsible for the Biden administration. And again, that's what differentiates Biden between a politician and a statesman. He's doing this for political purposes because he wants to win re-election. If he was so concerned about America and our ally, he would act as a statesman and not pressure Israel to do anything. He'd step out of it.
Brianna Lineman with The Federalist, and you also argue that you think Biden is more concerned about losing the progressive wing than black voters anyway.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's an unfortunate political calculation from the Biden team, because the progressive wing is not necessarily, the progressive wing is dominating California, New York, right, Chicago. But the places that Biden actually has to win to get the electoral votes, again, is Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, right? And that is a lot of black Americans who are dissatisfied with the economy, with immigration, right? They care about actual problems in America, not a war over in Israel where people are trying to fight just because they want to murder Jews and Biden is trying to turn a blind eye.
Well, to that extent, I pointed out the other day that if we're missing a lot of black voters, you look to Roe v. Wade, because since Roe v. Wade, 50 million black children were aborted. And that's just that actual number of those aborted, not the siblings, or rather the offspring they might have had and their offspring might have had.
Yeah, and you can thank Margaret Sanger. You know, Democrats like to pretend that abortion is this, you know, wonderful policy for women's health and progress, but how much of that is actually true? I would say 99% of it's not. Abortion, like Democrats used to say, should be safe, legal, and rare. Okay, cases of rape, of incest, and the extremely rare cases when a mother's life is in jeopardy. And to try and throw it on individuals, especially lower-income individuals, as a means of birth control, it just shows the lack of morality that we have in America right now.
And to that extent, the Planned Parenthood even dropped Margaret Sanger from part of their D.C. headquarters name. They thought, well, we probably shouldn't bring her name up anymore. She's a eugenics.
Right, and because it's politically inconvenient for them, now they're going to drop it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that their core messaging is based off a woman who was a complete racist and didn't want to have, you know, a thriving black American population. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party has had such a grip on the abortion topic because Republicans have been inept at coming together and getting out a cohesive message saying, look, as a party, this is our platform. And we're still, I mean, we saw it yesterday. Donald Trump comes out, he says it's up to the states, okay? And then you have other Republicans like Mike Pence who says that's not right. We need to be 100% pro-life. That just doesn't work in today's climate, okay? There has to be exceptions for race. There has to be exceptions for extreme circumstances. And until Republicans can get on the same page about that, Democrats will continue to define the abortion debate, continue to let it seep into communities that they're targeting specifically, and that is why you'll see it continue.
Well, in the last 15 seconds, I'd like your reaction. Nancy Pelosi says Joe Biden has a beautiful vision for America. Don't laugh. Go ahead.
Look, if the past 4 years were a crystal ball, then I'm petrified for the next four.
Brianna Lynch, I think Lineman, I'm sorry. I thank you very much for your time. We'll do it again. You bet. Coming up, a pediatrician who said, yeah, abortion's a good idea.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This report from Substack, citing multiple unnamed sources, claims the U.S. intelligence community asked foreign spy agencies to help spy on more than 24 associates of Donald Trump in the run-up to the 2016 election. It reads in part, quote, President Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, had identified 26 Trump associates for the Five Eyes to target. A source confirmed that the IC had identified them as people to bump or make contact with or manipulate. They were targets of our own IC and law enforcement, targets for collection and misinformation. Now, the Five Eyes nations are the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Here's one of the reporters, Michael Schellenberger, who spoke to Jesse Waters last night.
If this binder contains what we have been told that it contains, which may include raw intelligence, information showing that the U.S. government, the CIA and the intelligence community of the U.S. government, initiated the Russia collusion hoax, that it did not occur in the way that the official story, including the Durham investigation, had portrayed it, then that's extremely serious information.
It is extremely serious. It's not new. We've had this story before. That was Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News, talking about CIA Director John Brennan did confirm the CIA had spies surveilling Trump and about 15, 16 associates during the 2016 campaign, while all the time parroting the story that Russians are trying to control Trump. I guess he would make the case, well, we were surveilling Trump because we had an idea that Russians were contacting them. No, that was all part of a game, and they knew it. And in fact, CIA Brennan later had to sit in the office with Obama, the Oval Office, and with Joe Biden there with him, and Attorney General Lynch, and then FBI Director Comey, and say, that Russian collusion thing, that all turned out to be a hoax bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to discredit Donald Trump. But let's break it down again, because I'm afraid a lot of the American public either missed it or they just forgot about it. I don't want you to forget how your government was activated to spy on you. The Patriot Act, right after 9/11, had a lot of good things in it, and for many, and I was one of them, I don't care if they listen to my phone calls, I got nothing to hide. But you reach a point where you say, wait, my Fourth Amendment right, let's hold up here a second. Because if you breach that door, if you crack it just a bit, how much more are you going to come rolling through? And then, while you might not be guilty of something, you could be charged and you've got enormous legal fees to cover. General Michael Flynn, perfect example. Got to sell a lot of stuff just trying to cover legal fees. But as reported by the New York Post, I'm going to read their article directly for you, in part. Headline, CIA and foreign intel agencies illegally targeted 26 Trump associates before 2016 Russian collusion. Russian collusion claims. Now, again, this is nothing new, but I think sometimes you need to tell people what you're going to tell them what you want to tell them, and then you tell them what you told them again, and you got to keep driving it home. Now, this is under Obama, not Biden, although Biden was aware of it. And Biden has taken it to the next level with the attorney general he has and even Director Christopher Wray. The only good thing I've seen come out of Christopher Wray is when he went before Congress right before the end of the year, or maybe it's right after, and saying, we're the highest threat level ever of terrorists inside our nation. And we don't know how many there are or where they are. I have to say that if I were the FBI director and I had that intel, that information, and the White House attitude is playing politics and keeping the border open and letting more in, I'd resign. I do not want a terrorist action to be carried out on my watch when we could have stopped it. And it's not just to protect myself and my career. It's because I don't want to be linked to such a disastrous event for our nation. But as the Post article had continued, former CIA Director John Brennan did identify and present the targets, the Trump targets, to the U.S. intel sharing partners in the so-called Five Eyes agency. Five Eyes are those intel agencies in the U.S., United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And all of that New York Post report is definitely based off the same Michael Schellenberg public Substack that you were hearing in that report. They cite multiple unnamed sources, including ones close to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intel, led by Congressman Mike Turner, Republican, Ohio. Of course, Turner's office has not responded. What would be your reaction if you're a member of Congress and you have this information, but cannot make it public? While you can't state specifically, I'm sure there got to be ways you could skirt around it in such a way. I'm not saying you leak it to someone else, let them do it. I'm not suggesting that. But that you need to be saying what we're doing is wrong, it needs to be brought to full account, and there should be no protection for those who are in the midst of it. And that's what they're doing. They're keeping a lot of it under wraps because they do not want to admit who's actually been involved in it. Because how high could it go? And they were having the so-called bumps. That's when a reason is manufactured to meet a target of interest, trying to develop a relationship that would lead to some kind of intel. And the source claimed they were targets of our own intel committee and law enforcement, targets for collection and misinformation. These are top CIA operatives being weaponized against a political candidate. Did they see the big picture, or they just get the word that they might be involved with the Russians? We need to find out. If you just really intend on doing your job, you might just take it on the premise that's been presented to you. But I wonder how many of those in the FBI and the CIA now question, what have we been doing other than destroying our own integrity and me personally destroying my integrity? Because I'm taking part in this nonsense. And there you have whistleblowers coming forward. Thank God for the whistleblowers. And hopefully more will. But of course they got to pay and feed their family. And they will be looking to take action against them. Remember the one FBI agent that was a whistleblower? And as soon as word came out he was going to be blowing the whistle on them, they ordered a transfer to him. He had just bought a house and said, no, we're going to transfer you up to D.C. Well, his family stayed behind in the house till they figured out what to do with it. He got up there. He could not bring any furniture, couldn't bring his family. And eventually, they got what they wanted. He just resigned, walked away from it. The pressure is being put on legitimate law enforcement is unbelievable. And it's wrong. Well, of course, yesterday, Donald Trump released a statement regarding his view of abortion, basically saying it should stay of the state's rights. He did not go far enough with many who were pushing pro-life. They think he should have been a lot stronger. And many of them, and my guest, in case you missed it yesterday, Sean Carney, 40 Days of Life, insisted we need a national, a federal law. My question is, we were treating abortion as a federal law, law of the land, which it wasn't. Do we really want to go back into the federal court? Now, I agree that's going to create a patchwork of laws. Some states will allow you, as Trump said, to get an abortion at different weeks or not at all. And my concern is for the unborn. But Trump is recognizing that you can't win the election if you go that strong. Now, I know some are going to say, so he's also selling out to make sure he gets the votes. You ever hear something in baseball like a sacrifice hit or bunt? The guy knows he's going to be out, but you're advancing everyone else around the plates, maybe into home plate. That's the way I look at this. Doesn't mean you have to like it. I mean, if you're the guy that, man, I'm ready to hit one out of the park, I'm capable. No, we just want you to sacrifice. Don't hit it out of the park. Just draw the guy back far enough, and we can get some runners moving. Or just bunt, let him stumble around it. So when pro-abortionists call pro-lifers extremists, which they do often, I want you to remember, I want you to always remember remarks made by the former Virginia governor, Ralph Northam.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
You heard him refer to the infant, not even a fetus. He's talking about after a baby is delivered. And Ralph Northam, making those statements while he was a governor of Virginia from 2018 to 2022, and you should know that he is a pediatric neurologist. A pediatric neurologist saying we'll deliver the baby, and if we need to resuscitate it, if that's what the family wants, doesn't make a difference if the baby has a chance of surviving or won't survive unless we give it oxygen, we're going to see what the family want. But we'll put the baby to the side like a piece of trash, and then we'll decide, do you want this baby or not? If you don't want it, then we'll make sure it doesn't survive. That would be infanticide, murdering children. Do those of you who are pro-life, do you buy that side of the argument that you're willing to go that, I meant pro-choice, that you're willing to go that deep, that it's still the mother's choice after the baby's born? Then why are you having such a hard time right at the moment of birth? Why are you having such a hard time once there's a heartbeat? It's a living thing. It's not a rock on the ground. I don't know how God's going to end up punishing our nation for having such a view, but I have no doubt. I have no doubt that will be some punishment coming. He is a just God and merciful God, but he also demands justice. Same for those who are pushing, manipulating our children into becoming transsexuals. There is no such thing as a transsexual child, but they're trying to present it as commonplace. This is back to a story I had the other day. And also did a commentary on it, based on a 1958 book written by a former FBI agent talking about the 45 goals of communism. And one of them is make life basically indifferent and separate children from their parents. and control the thought processes. President Trump, in announcing his abortion position yesterday, did say, I think it should be left to the individual states. And he did speak in favor of abortions laws if they contain exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Now, my guest yesterday said that's a lie. If it involves the life of a mother, that has never been true. It's just a made-up story. Well, you know what? I'm going to let you decide. And I want you, if you did not hear yesterday's program, go back and pull up the podcast. In the first hour, he's a guest of the first hour, Sean Carney. And then listen to it and then share it with others. Whether you like it or don't like it, listen to it. You make up your mind. I'm not going to tell you how to think. I'll show you how and where to get information to think. But some of the leading pro-life groups are asking Trump to consider legislation to go against Democrats' agenda of passing federal protection for abortion. Keep in mind, they want to make it a federal law. They want to codify it into federal law and the Constitution. And various states are in the process of doing it now that you cannot stop an abortion, and some have already and will. Abortion will be, quote, the right of the woman. What if the... May I ask a question? What if the fetus, the unborn, is clearly going to be a woman? You're going to ask that woman what their choice would be? They'll never have the opportunity, will they? And that's usually my retort to anyone who is insisting on abortion. If your mother had made the decision not to have you, you would not be standing here having this argument with me. Period. Protect the sanctity of life. Protect our children. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.